I hope you'll follow the lesson very carefully, and I want to just say here at the very beginning, we really, really, really need to hear this today. Every single person really needs to hear this. And I hope that I can be so bold as to say that when we get through with the lesson today, there will be the need for repentance. There will be the need for repentance. And I hope you'll see why I'm saying that when we get through with all of this. But togetherness, first of all, we observe that it was very evident among the early Christians. All you have to do really is go through the book of Acts. Just take a quick trip through the book of Acts, and you'll see that the Christians there in the book of Acts are described as being together, of one accord, of one heart and soul. We won't take the time to read all of these passages, but I did want to offer you some proof, right? I didn't just pluck this out of the air. This is exactly what is said of these brethren in the book of Acts. But the one thing we need to understand about this togetherness, this oneness that these brethren had, this unity is entirely different from what others might describe as unity. This is a unity that's a lot different than you might have on an athletic team, for example. It's not the kind of unity you would have like if you're part of a Lions Club or a Rotary Club, and you know, somebody might say, well, I love being part of this, and we just kind of all get together and we have so many things in common. This is different. This is different. This is special. And the reason for it is this unity, this togetherness, this fellowship that we're talking about grew out of their fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Turn with me to John 17. John chapter 17. And let's read together verses 20 and 21. John 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, referring to his apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's talking about believers presently. He's even talking about me and you, if we are truly believers. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The togetherness that you see among these early Christians and the togetherness that we ought to have even today as Christians is because we share a love for the Lord. Because we share a commitment to the Lord. We are bound together by the truth. This unity, this togetherness, this fellowship is different from anything else you may experience in this life. This is different. This is special. And so it's this togetherness in the Lord is what we're going to talk about today. And again, if you followed the previous point, you know why we're styling it this way, why we're phrasing it this way. We're not just talking about togetherness in general. We're talking about togetherness in the Lord. That's the subject. And we want to talk about it, especially as it relates to attendance. We want to make that practical application. We want to talk about this, especially as it relates to attendance. Our coming together to study together, to engage in spiritual activities together, to worship together. The importance of us all being in the same place and doing all of that together. Okay? That's really where we want to focus our attention in the lesson today. Now, before we, though, relate it specifically to attendance, there's a little build-up that we need to do that. I want us to, first of all, understand that togetherness is a very key element in God's eternal plan. And I want us to really kind of look at togetherness just from the standpoint of God's plan for us. But let's begin with this passage. We know that God's purpose, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 10, is to gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, Josh may have better answers than I do on this. I'm still at a point where I'm not sure that I fully grasp what all things are. But I do know it includes people. I do know that. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, we can see that that's the case. Ephesians 2 and verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God's plan was to gather people all together in one body, right? From every nation, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, I believe the way it's worded in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. And that's really what this is all about. This speaks to the togetherness that we have in the one body. It speaks to the fellowship we have with all the saints in every place and from every age. And I want us to make sure we understand what a wonderful blessing this is. You know, if it was logistically possible, wouldn't it be awesome if we could gather together all the people of the one body in this one auditorium right here? And we'd start looking around and we'd see some faithful men and women that we read about in the New Testament. We would see some loved ones who have departed from us, who died in the Lord. We'd see some of them. I believe we would even see Old Testament saints because they too were reconciled by the blood, right? We'd see people like Abraham and Moses, and man, what a great thing that would be to see them all in one room. Well, again, that's not possible, but we are still in fellowship with all of them. We're together with them. And so when we talk about togetherness, we have to kind of see the big picture first, this togetherness we have in the one body. But that's not all that's included, right, in God's plan for togetherness. God's plan for togetherness goes beyond the togetherness we have in this one body. I think we can see that really from a couple of different passages. Let's start in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And let's look together at verses 6 through 8. Acts 20, verses 6 through 8. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, they came together to break bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. This is obviously no longer talking about the togetherness that we have in the one body. Here we're talking about saints in a particular area, in the church at Troas, actually coming together in the same place. We see this also in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's turn there and read this passage. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23. Notice especially the beginning part of this verse. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place. And of course he goes on then to talk about tongue speaking and how all that should be regulated at that time. If the whole church comes together in one place. Clearly that's not talking about the universal church or the one body. We can't all come together in the same physical location, as desirous as we may be of that. No, this is talking about a local church. In this case, it's talking about the church at Corinth. And so, God's plan for togetherness includes that fellowship in the one body, but it also includes us coming together, actually being together in the same place and doing some things together that we'll talk more about later. But now before we come back to our actually being together in the same place and what we do when we come together, I want us to understand that we are actually together when we're not together. Even when we're not assembled together like we are this morning, we still ought to be together. And I want to just mention quickly, and I'll show these on the screen, just some phrases from different passages in the New Testament. From 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That ought to be the case even when we're not actually here together. Philippians 1 and verse 27, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, you brethren here should be doing that even when you're not physically together. Colossians 2 and verse 2, knit together in love. Is that not true? All the time? I would hope so. In other words, even when we're not together, we're together in heart, we're together in purpose, we're together in conviction. Now, where are we going with all of this? Well, it's as simple as this. People who are this together, in heart and mind and purpose and conviction, should actually look forward to the times when they can be together in the same location. These are the people that mean so much to me. These are the people with whom I have the same mind. I have the same love. Okay? And again, that's true no matter where we may be at any given time. But if these people mean so much to us, then we should really long for the time when we can really be together with them in the same place, doing the things the Lord wants us to do together. And isn't it great when the whole church, when every member comes together? Did you notice that in 1 Corinthians 14:23? When the whole church comes together. That sounds like what the Lord's expectation really is, right? Who all should be here when we gather together? Every member. Now, I understand there are some very special circumstances. There are times when people are just too sick to come. There may be other reasons just really beyond their control. We're not talking about those. We're not talking about those. I suspect we have some among us today who are not in any of those categories, who could be here on a more regular basis and yet just choose not to. Isn't it great when every member comes together? What a tremendous encouragement that is to everyone. I really believe that when you start thinking about a local church, I believe it is certainly biblical, right? I think we have principles that would support using this particular analogy. I think it's helpful to think of the local church as a team of saints who work and worship together, right? Think of ourselves as a team. And again, I think that's, in many ways, you think about teams, even athletic teams, right? We're doing things together. We're involved in team activities. And I know there's so many other things, obviously, we need to do individually. But think of it as a team of saints. And don't we really need all the team members to make this work? We need all the team members to make this work. And so I would just urge all of us to ask this question. Are you part of the team or are you apart from the team? The Lord is looking for an answer. It doesn't matter, you know, what you might say to me or to anyone else here. Really, in the end, the Lord wants an answer. Are you part of the team or are you apart from the team? Milo Carter has started playing baseball this year. I understand didn't get to play his first game yesterday. I was kind of disappointed in that. I'd have loved to have seen Milo play myself. But obviously, Milo was picked on some team here recently. Can you imagine Milo going to the coach and saying, hey, coach, I appreciate you picking me for the team and all that, but I tell you what, I'm just going to do all the playing and practicing on my own here at the house. And occasionally I might ask a few of the other guys on the team to come with me, to come over to the house. And we've got just a few of us, maybe two or three or four, we'll do that together. How do you think the coach would respond to that? Well, I think the coach would be well within his rights to say something like, well, now, Milo, when we're involved in team stuff, you need to be here with the team. And he might even go on to say something like, the team needs you, and you need the team. You see where we're going with this? You see how that fits? And we can understand this, right, in situations like that. Well, why can't we apply it to what we're talking about? So what I want us to talk about here for the next little bit is I want us to talk about some of these team activities, the things in which we engage together. And really, we want to kind of make this main point, and then we want to give some reasons why that's the case. When the church assembles together in one place, I need to be there together with them. And we want to give several reasons why that's the case. Here's the first one. Let's concentrate on the first day of the week assembly for just a moment, okay? And we're going to talk about some of the other times we gather together, but let's just focus on that. On the first day of the week, we have the opportunity to sing and pray together. I understand you can sing and pray on your own, right? Is any man merry? Let him sing psalms. James 5, verse 13. But we have the opportunity. And the Lord has appointed that as something that we also need to do together. We get an opportunity to study together, to eat the Lord's Supper together, to give to the Lord while we reflect together on how much He has given us. Why would we neglect these great opportunities, right? Would we neglect those? Say, okay, I understand about that first day of the week assembly. I'm going to do my best to always be there. But here's that big question, right? Here's that big question. What about the Bible classes? Maybe the Bible classes, you know, before that first day of the week assembly, that Bible class on Wednesday evening. What about those? What about those additional services we have, like the Sunday evening service? What about these other times when we gather together? Don't you love the way this is worded? Do I have to be there? Do I have to be there? Well, let me ask it this way. Who has the better argument? Who has more biblical principles on their side? The one who argues that, okay, anytime we come together, I need to be there, versus the person that says, you know what, those are just completely optional. Which one has a better argument? Which one, again, has more biblical principles on their side? Now, we're going to eventually get to the Hebrews 10, 24, 25 that we all know so well, but that's not the only principle that bears on this. There are just a ton of New Testament principles. And hopefully we're bringing some of those out in the lesson today. Who has the better argument? Aren't these other times that we gather together, aren't they a part of the work of the team? Aren't these still team activities? And I want you to think about the goals that a local church has in mind or should have in mind in engaging in these other activities at other times. I want you to think about the goals. And these are coming from Ephesians 4. I'm not making these up. First of all, of course, we want there to be peace. We want there to be unity. But we also are concerned about developing each member, equipping the saints for service, again from Ephesians chapter 4. Helping each member to be grounded and steadfast in the faith. Attaining to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need these other times as well to really help accomplish these goals that we have as a team. And we need to all be participating in these team activities. I want you to think with me about a special assembly that's mentioned in Acts 14 and verse 27. Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. Look, we don't have a lot of information here, but this appears to be an assembly that's kind of a special nature, right? Not really, doesn't seem to be the typical first day of the week assembly. Acts 14 and verse 27. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas have made their way back to Antioch and they're going to give a report of all that God has done through them. I'm asking the question, or the Lord is asking the question, would you have been there for that? Would you have been there for that? Suppose you have one of your brethren that you support and they're able to come and kind of give a report on the work that's going on wherever they may be. And let's say it's Thursday night is really the only time that they can make here. Thursday night, here's a brother that this team is supporting. And that's the time he can come. Would you be here? Would you be here? How can you really be serious about the Lord's work, our involvement in the Lord's work, supporting those who are doing the Lord's work, and even think about not trying to make it to that? Yeah. You see the point? These other times are very, very important. When the team gathers together, I need to be there together with the team. But there's another reason. Occasions like these actually draw us closer together. You remember when we talked a few minutes ago about how we're together in heart and purpose and conviction? That's the ideal, right? Do you think it's possible that we could be, and I'm talking about just Lawrenceville, let's just concentrate on Lawrenceville. Could you be even more together, though, than what those passages describe? Well, here's the thing. We're not there yet. There's still work to be done. We haven't, I don't think anyway, you've reached the absolute ideal here. We can be even closer. Well, these team activities, you know what they do, among other things? They foster even greater unity. They're designed to bring us even closer together. Let me mention a couple of lines from a couple of different songs. When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union while partaking of the bread. Is that expressing the truth? Absolutely. I don't think there's a person here who says, no, I just don't think that's right. It's exactly right. May we all in spirit, all with one accord, take this cup of blessing given by the Lord. And again, I know we're kind of concentrating here on the Lord's Supper in particular and that first day of the week assembly, but all of these times that we meet together, all of these have the goal of fostering even greater unity among the brethren. Don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want to be a part of everything the team is involved in? Another reason, it's certainly a great opportunity to build up team members, to build up, to encourage, to edify all the different team members. Here's that Hebrews 10 passage. You knew it was eventually coming, right? And it's still as important as it ever was. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. We sure have used the word together a lot, haven't we? You know why we've been using the word together a lot? Because the New Testament uses that word a lot. And so I want that word to be emblazoned in our minds today. Together, 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 together. Right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But you see the connection, right? It has a way of stirring us up, of making us even better, making us stronger. I know our worship is obviously, you know, directed toward God, but the result of all of that, the result of all these spiritual activities in which we engage in any of these different times, is designed also to edify us. You think about all that chaos that was going on in the church at Corinth, right? With those miraculous gifts, you know, there was kind of a competition among them, and you have that great principle there in 14:26. Let all things be done, you remember, for edification. For the building up. It has that effect, right? We get stronger every time. We get stronger every time. I want you to look at a couple of passages with me, and I think we mentioned at least one of these in an earlier lesson, but Romans chapter 1, Paul's plans to come to Rome and why he wants to be together with them, with these saints. I think there's a principle here that applies very much to what we're talking about. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I want to be together with you. I want to be encouraged by your faith, and I would, of course, love for you to be encouraged by mine. There's mutual edification, mutual encouragement that goes on. I want to be together. I want to come see y'all. I want to be together with you. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Let's start there with verse 30. In Romans 15 and verse 30, Paul writing says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." And he mentions several things he wants them to pray, but look at verse 32. "That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you." Again, I know we're not talking about exactly the same thing. Paul's talking about his plans to visit Rome and to be together with. But you see the connection that he wants to have with these brethren. If I can be together with you, it'll do me good. It'll do you good. We'll be refreshed together. This will help us all. This will help us all. You see how there's many more things we need to consider than just Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. But another reason that I need to be together there with the team is obviously isolation from the team makes our love grow cold. You say, yeah, but I'm coming these times and so forth. Yeah, but when we keep missing these team activities, our love begins to just diminish, grow colder and colder. Now, you've probably seen this about a jillion times in your life, at least some of you, but this little illustration, I guess, never gets old. You think about that bed of hot coals. You see them all, you know, kind of really hot right there, right? Everything's looking good. They're all together. But you flick one of those hot coals away from all the others, and what happens? It begins to lose its heat, right? And eventually just grows cold. But I know sometimes when I've used that illustration in the past, I don't know that I take it far enough. We also need to get to the point where we say, well, you know, but those other ones need the warmth of that one. They're missing out on that warmth. So yeah, that one that kind of isolates himself, he's going to grow cold, but these others were depending on the warmth of that coal. They're not going to be as hot now. You see? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. "The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." How many are included in every? Think about the human body. Yeah. We need the eyes, we need the ears, we need the intestines. Somebody says, you know, I've heard even people kind of make the joke sometimes, somebody's got to be the colon. You know, I know that's kind of harsh to say, right? But we need every member to make this work. We keep each other hot, right? We keep each other zealous. We keep each other trying to faithfully serve the Lord. But I want you to think about something else as we begin to try to wrap this up. I want you to think about some things that you miss, or at least you have the potential to miss, when you miss these team activities, when you're not present together with them. First of all, you miss, to go right in line with the lesson today, you miss the togetherness the Lord longs to see in His people. You miss the spiritual fellowship in activities designed to glorify His name and edify us all. You miss that. You just flat out missed that. But also, you may at times miss an opportunity to hear a young Christian give his first talk. Maybe someone may be waiting on the table for the first time. Maybe a young Christian leading singing. You know, just kind of get started with that. Miss somebody maybe lead a prayer for the first time. Here's maybe a new convert. And they've been a little skittish about getting involved, and now they've kind of gotten the nerve up, and here they are leading that prayer for the first time. Not only did you miss hearing all of that, you missed an opportunity to commend that person for a job well done. You really want to miss that? Really want to miss that? You may, in some cases, have missed a baptism. I know a lot of times, and probably in most cases, a baptism happens sometime outside of our regular service, but you may have missed a baptism. You may have missed the enthusiastic singing which followed that baptism. You may have missed the long line that was waiting afterwards to congratulate this new Christian. You missed an opportunity to be in that same line. That's terrible. That really is. That's just not good at all. You missed, in particular, when we're talking about our studies together, you missed the knowledge and wisdom gained from those studies together. You missed an opportunity to learn something that somebody else knows that you don't. Right? Again, we miss these kind of things for very long. It's going to have some disastrous consequences, right? You missed an opportunity to encourage the non-Christians who visited. They're liable to show up at any time, right? They're liable to show up at the Sunday morning Bible study. They may come on a Wednesday night. You missed an opportunity to encourage those people, to maybe give them a little extra spark and to continue their studies, their attendance. You missed updates on the work of the church. Can you imagine being on a team and not really being aware of what the team is doing? Not good, is it? You may have missed updates on your brethren. You may have missed hearing about needs that you could have filled. You know, sometimes you'll have brethren who say, well, I didn't know such and such was going on. I didn't know brother so-and-so was having this problem. And sometimes you don't know because you're not here, you know. But when you're here all the time, and when you're really a vital part of this team, this work, you know what's going on. And you have the opportunity to fill those needs. You may have missed seeing some people who came in spite of great difficulty. Those people are always a big encouragement. This Sunday morning, I know back in Prattville, Alabama, there's going to be a couple of gentlemen who will be there today, and they won't be feeling very well at all. Josh's granddaddy will be one of them. His back will be killing him. His back will be killing him. But he will be there because he wants to be there. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to encourage his brethren. He will be there. Sometimes you miss the opportunity to see some brethren who have attended, who put aside some other important activity in order to be there. And that's always a big encouragement. I don't have this one on the screen, but you may have also missed hearing someone pray for you. Maybe not by name, maybe just kind of a category that you would fit into and so forth. I hear my name mentioned in prayer quite often. In these public prayers, prayers done in the assembly. You know how often that encourages me? Every single time. It never gets old. I never have gotten to the point that I just wish they would quit praying for me. I wish they wouldn't mention my name before the throne of God anymore. I wish they'd just stop that. We know better than that. Now, we've talked about the Lord's plan for togetherness. We've looked at it from the standpoint of the togetherness in the one body. The togetherness we see in actually coming together in the same place. But there's another aspect of this togetherness that we need to look at before we bring this lesson to a close. And that is the final gathering together. The final gathering together. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1, you see it on the screen. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. Well, let's see if we can maybe relate some of what we've talked about into this. Will we be gathered together with the other saints then if we lack the desire to gather together with them now? Think about it. And I believe you already know the answer to that question. Maybe another way to put it is it's hard to see the value of this fellowship in eternity when we don't see the value of this present fellowship. Sometimes you hear fellow Christians talking about how wonderful it will be in heaven, all of us gathered around the throne of God, all of us singing together His praises and so forth, and what a wonderful thing that would be. I'll tell you what, if we think that's wonderful, why don't we go ahead and participate in that sort of thing together? I know that kind of transcends anything we're doing, but I don't think we really, really do appreciate that as much as we're saying if we're not involved in it right now. You get the point, right? You get the point. Now, we're going to bring this to a close in just a minute, but I just want to make a little bit of a personal appeal here. And you know, maybe some that are not attending regularly, maybe not coming to some of these other team activities, these other gatherings. I don't know that, I hope this is not the case anymore. I don't know that any of you have a hard heart. I doubt that that's the case. I don't really think you have a hard heart. I think maybe you've just kind of slipped into that habit. That's what you've been doing for a while, and you've just had a little bit of an issue just breaking that habit. Could we have maybe 1, 2, 4, 5, 9, 10, 15, or 20? Just go ahead and make the decision today that, you know what, from this point forward, I'm gonna be together with my brethren. I see how the Lord values togetherness, and I want my mind to be in line with His, and so I'm gonna be there. Can we have that maybe today? We're gonna sing that invitation song here in just a moment. Softly and tenderly is the song that we're about to sing. But if you do need to repent, even specifically of what we've been talking about today, that's not something really you need to put off. And I know the brethren here, the elders in particular, would be happy to talk with you concerning all of that. If you understand what you need to do in order to become a Christian, in order to become a follower of Christ, we can assist you with that as well. But please, if you have a need we can help with today, let us know as we stand and sing.